Set the record.
So I know Noel pretty well. He's a good guy. He's a very social guy. So I have no doubt that he will be able to contact any member that lives off campus that wants to get in touch with him. And I've seen him organize different things and like get groups together to work out or do whatever. So I think he's capable of handling anything that we want.
I just wanted to echo those sentiments as well. I think from an organizational standpoint, similarly, he's great at organizing large groups of people, and I think he has a broad understanding of the different voices that are off campus that would complement me as well. I think he attacks like a little bit of a different demographic in that terms, but I think it's much needed and I think he'd be a great candidate.
Any further discussion? Skiba, sorry.
I would also like to throw my support to Noel. He's a very approachable person, very friendly. I feel like if anyone was willing or wanted to get in touch with their off-campus representative, they would definitely be able to do that with Noel. So.
Further discussion? Discussion, seeing none, move to vote. All those in favor of approving candidate Strami to off campus, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Abstentions? So approved.
Thank you.
To us, they want to take a trip down to Thrivent, and they're asking us for the cost of the transportation for the club to drive down there to take a tour and then drive back to campus. This was under our bylaw, and so the committee decided to recommend the budget in full.
I'm assuming you don't mean the office in St. Peter.
No,
the Minneapolis.
All right.
All right, so what we want to do is take a trip to the Minneapolis Thrivent offices just to meet with a lot of their upper-level executives. They do have a lot of ties at Gustavus, so they're really looking forward to the possibility of us coming. The group is pretty new, so we don't have a lot of money of our own to work with, so we're really hoping that Senate can help fund it so that we can afford to take our first big trip and work on that financial education aspect of our own members and get them to experience what it would be like to work for Thrivent.
All right, I'll open up the floor for questions. Cedric.
So who will this trip be for? Members of the club or people who would just like to go to the place you're going to?
It would be for members of the club.
Are you?
How many members are in the club? Or how many people would be going?
There would be 15 that are able to go.
Questions? All right, I'll open up for discussion. Discussion. Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. All those in favor of approving the budget as recommended by the Finance Committee, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Abstentions? I'm so approved.
No, I'm not.
committee update on one thing we were able to take off of the health and housing plate. That way we're good and ready to go with Chair Johnson. So the one update I have that happened between the former chair and the new one was about ILL spouses, which was a charge brought up way back in the fall. And so there's a discussion with Res Life, specifically Charlie, about what can be done for like a language-based learning house. And basically the response was that it would go through ILL houses. And so if there is need demonstrated within those houses, so if say, you know, five of those houses, I don't even know how many of those houses there are, but I'll say all five turn into language-based houses, then that would be something they would look forward to in the future. But for right now, that would be the proper avenue for any of those language-based learning opportunities. So that was the only update that I wanted to share with the body. So any questions on that item in particular? Cool. I'm Ezra Sensen.
All right. Given the charges that were brought to ethics last week and discussed, as far as senior voting rights, I am currently getting a hold of the registrar's office to find out if there is a set list by late February that Senate could access in order to have like a set list of people who are graduating or who will not be, I guess you could say, impacted by the next year's co-presidents. So I'm currently getting a meeting set up with the registrar's office to figure out if there's anything that, or any sort of list that the Senate would have could have access to for planning that. As far as election midterm vacancies and an electoral process, that would have to be a constitutional amendment, so we are working on language to hopefully get it brought to Senate in time for it to be able to pass by the end of the year. And then we will also hopefully be bringing language for office hours. Another set of language, I guess you could say, for office hours, hopefully next week. Ethics was asked to look into the having Joe Thayer on as the student, or I'm sorry, student at large on our committee, and whether or not there was any sort of conflict of interest, seeing as he ran for the position of ombudsperson, and we found no conflict in anything that he's done, any actions he has taken, or any sort of language, and that was reviewed between ethics and Jonas.
So on the senior voting thing, you said you were going to get a list, but have you made a decision on whether seniors are going to be allowed to vote or not?
I just want to clarify, like there's a difference between being listed as a senior and intending to graduate. So there, like you can't just like say anybody who is listed as a senior shouldn't get to vote, because some of those people who are listed as seniors are going to be fifth year seniors, and then you wouldn't want to kick them out of the process because they're going to be around for another year. Or you might be able to have enough credits to be a senior but not actually have the right credits to be able to graduate. So part of the problem is not just saying like, oh, you're a senior and therefore you're kicked out of the process, but how do you actually figure out who has applied to graduate and intends to graduate and actually will graduate, and who hasn't gotten around to applying to graduate but intends to graduate. So it just gets really complex. So I think that they got to figure out if there's even a structure to decide if they could figure out who seniors are before, graduating seniors are before they can even figure out if they want to let them in or not let them in, or you all need to figure that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so that means the ethics made a decision to disallow people who are going to graduate from voting.
So we can see the grounds for specifically limiting voting for future co-presidents on people who are never going to see them in office, seeing as their time on campus will not be affected by who votes, and so we want make sure that those who are going to be affected and whose voices are going to be need to be heard when those co-presidents are in position. We want to make sure that their voices are being represented as they wanted their voices to be represented. But now it's kind of figuring out, or we can see the ground behind it. Now it's just trying to figure out how to make sure that we aren't limiting the voices of those.
If you could even do it.
Yeah, and whether or not it's applicable.
Okay, yeah. I just didn't know the ethics had made that decision. That's all.
Senator Hagan.
Can I ask that if it were to become too complex, and I'm just saying in a hypothetical, if there wasn't a capability of determining whether people would be on campus or not, that some language be brought just for limiting seniors?
I can see an issue with that and the fact that that would be affecting those who are still going to be on campus. That was one thing that we discussed in ethics on whether or not we should put it as seniors or like people who are going to be graduating, because if we were to go with seniors just as kind of a blanket statement, then we talked about considering maybe like an appeals process for votes. However, that could get to be an excessive amount of people coming in to appeal their votes, and we shouldn't be taking away someone's right and then having them ask it back. We should be giving people the right and then having them decide from there.
Jonas, do you have any idea how many people who are on campus for a fourth year come back for a fifth year?
I want to
say a rough number.
Yeah, I want to say 25-30.
25-30. Okay.
And another note,
mm-hmm.
We are planning on taking this. This is going to be taken in a constitutional route because this is something that will affect the student body in its decision. And so the student body should vote on whether or not they want it. However, we could get into a whole paradox of whether or not we want seniors to vote on senior voting, right? So it could be getting really fun up in here. But we are looking at the constitutional route for this.
And I want to add one more complication into that, Cole.
Uh-huh.
It's not even fifth-year seniors.
It's
also, there are a whole bunch of people who would right now be in their third year on campus.
Yep.
So you think of them as juniors, but they're listed
graduating
as seniors, and they don't intend to graduate
uh-huh.
before they spend 4 years here. Even though as juniors in residence, third-year students in residence,
okay.
they're actually called seniors because they brought in enough credits to be considered seniors. But they're going to be around their whole entire fourth year, even though they'll have spent probably a year and a half being called seniors. And those are even in addition to the fifth-year seniors.
What about if we looked, doesn't the housing, the...
years in residency?
Yes.
You
still run into
your
that
years in residency
issue.
May not be a reflection at all of your intention to graduate.
Yeah.
Really, I think the people that you, if you're insistent on not allowing somebody to have a voice in the process,
mm-hmm.
it's probably only people who have applied to graduate that you would want to do that to.
Yeah.
But even that, you can get a little dicey because you may exclude somebody that you don't intend to do because at the last minute
mm-hmm.
they don't actually graduate.
Yeah.
So it's just a really hard thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
All of these are awesome questions, and these are all stuff that I'm going to be bringing to the registrar's office, and this is something that I want to sit down with the registrar's office to figure out what we can do in order to make sure that we are not restricting people's voices, and if we are even able to find something that works for this, then we would move forward, but first we have to even find if anything is possible, and that will be hopefully in a meeting that I will have with the registrar's office.
Mm-hmm. I had one other question about it. Oh, yeah. Not a question, just my own personal conviction would be I would support people who are in their third year on campus but possibly graduating, possibly not being able to vote, because if I I don't feel that, I don't know. I wouldn't have an issue with those people voting, but that's my own personal opinion. So I'll yield after that.
Senator Gustafson.
So the student-at-large conversation, was that just in regards to Thayer, or was that all student-at-larges in all of the committees?
That was asked to just the position of Joe Thayer, seeing as he is on ethics committee still and ran for the position of ombudsperson, so there was just trying to make sure that everything was still in line and unbiased.
Okay, maybe I misunderstood, but I thought the conversation was, should we bring student marges into the boardroom to, like,
oh, that was a, that's totally separate.
Okay,
thing.
Can you clarify that?
Okay, so there was a suggestion brought forth to look into the, to, I guess you could say, singularly, Joe Thayer, the student at large on ethics, because he, in the first semester of this year, ran for the ombudsperson position and did not get that position, however, remained on ethics committee. And so it was asked for us to look in to make sure that there was still, there was not a bias there because of, I guess you could say, staying in his position.
And then what was the bit about student marges? Like, I thought maybe I fabricated this, but I thought it was something about including them, like, in the body. Like, yeah.
Are you thinking of Matt Knight inviting members at large people on cabinet committees, like the board?
Maybe I just imagined it.
I don't believe.
Okay.
As far as I know.
Okay. We can listen to the talk later.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
We can look at it more. But okay. Yeah. I don't believe.
Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Sorry for the confusion.
Senator Peterson.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to bring back the senior thing, but my only, I was just curious, because your reasoning behind it was, since they're not affected, or like they don't have any part, they're not going to be influenced by what those presidents do the next year, they don't get to vote. So shouldn't we then have the people who are going to be gusties that aren't gusties then be able to vote?
Yeah, this was...
Because they're going to be affected by those presidents?
This is another thing that
okay.
We...
You talked about that, sweet.
Yeah, yeah, we brought that up too, so...
Okay,
yeah.
Awesome, just, I yield.
So... It's all in our mind, but or it's all like been brought up, and the ideas are there. It's just figuring out whether or not it's even a possible system to change at this point, or like where to draw the line, basically.
Right.
So that's hopefully what we can figure out.
Awesome.
Senator Wilson.
I yield.
Senator Glatch.
Jonas already made my point. I yield.
Senator Miller.
Same. I yield.
All right. Any further committee
updates? Sure, Jensen. Okay, so two things quick. Just updated on what we've been up to. The first thing, I'm not sure if I mentioned last week, so I'm just going to repeat it if I did. I met with the Academic Technology Committee, and so this is a committee of students and faculty who they take requests, departmental requests for technology upgrades, and they kind of prioritize them and allocate, I don't know if they do the allocation of funds or just prioritize which technological improvements are most important for students. And so I went into them to advocate for Wi-Fi improvements, so just continuing reaching out to faculty and staff and people with influence about student concerns about that. It was a good crowd, there's a lot of departmental chairs, there was a dean in there, and so they all took it very, very well, and hopefully we can just keep advocating for that and spread the word. The second thing is new. Our committee is working with GTS to help them with their Google Apps migration. And so what this will look like is, I'm pretty excited about it. The GTS committee is going to move all of Webmail for Students over to Google, pretty much. So so from now on, you'll like log into Google instead of going to the Webmail. There's a bunch of cool things that this will bring, and I'm just going to say them right now, just so everyone can keep them on their minds. I think the biggest one that would be really cool is right now after graduation you'll lose your email after 6 months, but this will no longer happen with this new system. And so that's kind of cool. So nothing will change after you graduate. They're looking to start this spring only for students. They're going to start it as like an opt-in service where you can choose to or you can drill on webmail. But then by the end of the summer, hopefully they'll just switch everybody over. More privacy than traditional Gmail stuff. So that was one concern people might have is that, okay, now this stuff is going to be hosted by Google, so I don't know if that is different, this third-party company holding my emails, but it actually has more privacy than traditional Gmail accounts because it's a education-based one. There's no email storage limit. And they're just trying to kind of start PR for this and get feedback from students. So I'd love for you all to get feedback from your students. I know this is a lot of information, and I'll send you all an email with some details so you guys can forward that on or message your positions about that. And so just keep that in the back of your minds, and look out for that email.
Sorry about it.
Maybe I'm just too excited, but even people that are currently students will be able to keep that email address after college, or will that only be for incoming freshmen?
I would assume that anybody who opts in this spring should be able to do that.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Would you be able to roll your regular Gmail contacts into this Gmail?
That is a great question. There's actually a pretty easy way where you can import and export contacts, so I guess that'd be very, very easy.
Perfect, thank you.
So pretty much what I want is when I reach out to constituents, I just want to hear, this is going to happen, it's going to be great. I don't think there's going to be a lot of concerns, but we and that committee just want to know what are the common themes for concerns and things that they should address and questions they should be able to answer. So that's all.
Any further committee updates? Public relations chair.
Yes. Okay. I am so sorry. Okay, big news is t-shirts got here last week, so I'm going to hand them out here. It could get kind of clogged tonight getting your shirt. And so if you have time tomorrow, I'm going to be sitting in the Gusty Den from 1 to 2:30. So if you would rather come get it then, just kind of break it up a little bit. It would be great for not only you, but me. And then the second thing is I was charged to look into a button maker, and it was specifically charged for a branch button maker. Serious guys. And the best ones that I can find are 2.25 inches. Is there any backlash to that?
That's really serious stuff.
And I want to upset the public by okay, cool. I'll move forward then. Let's look for my budget.
All right. We have this. Seeing none. Is there any old business? Old business? Seeing none. New business, and we'll start first with the finance team and the cabinet. We are going to, I'll hand it off to you right now.
So this last week, both Courtney and I met with Joe Ness to talk about spring budgeting. So we came up with an amount to allocate for spring budgeting, and it's roughly the same as last year, just slightly less, not concerning at all. And then we do need to vote tonight about the percentage that will be going to block budgets. And we're going to keep that percentage the same as last year. And we felt the amount was adequate. It's 34%. Block budgets have been using all of that money.
Would you just, for new members of the body or first years, maybe just give a little information as to what a block budget is?
Yeah, sure. So a block budget, some of the block budgets are IGS, DLC, SAVE, Senior Week, the PAs. So block budget gets a chunk of Senate's money to distribute as they see fit. For IGS, they're the governing body for all Greeks. So Greek chapters can come to Senate for spring allocation, and then they can go to IGS for a mid-year. So that's why you won't see any orgs under DLC or IGS come in for mid-years. They can receive money from that block allocation that goes to those two orgs.
All right, so what is the official motion that is being brought to the floor?
That 34% of the spring budget be delegated towards black budgets.
Is there any discussion on the motion? Senator Wagner.
Can we get an update on the contingency and what 34% that is?
Yes. So the contingency is actually not what the 34% is of. The contingency right now is roughly $82,500. Based on a lot of guesstimate work, we were highly conservative in this process because we have to account for money that's going to be rescinded, money that's still going to go out for mid-years, how many incoming students there are, how many kids there are leaving, as far as student activity fee coming in. But we were very conservative with our numbers, and that number we came up with was $245,000. So it's 34% of that, which is $83,300. Last year it was $255,000 and
$83,500. Senator Wickman.
Did any of the block budgets grow? So, like, did DLC gain any members or lose any members or anything like that, or are they about the same?
I believe DLC may have gained one. No. No, then I...
Technically, DLC has one fewer member right now than it did last year.
Okay.
All right,
thank you.
Any further discussion? Discussion. Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. All those in favor of approving 34% of the expected collection of the student activity fees being allocated for block budgets, say aye.
I think
technically
it's the spring, the portion of spring allocated dollars.
Not the anticipated student.
Well, because you're not allowed to give away cab and building bridges portions to block budgets.
Correct.
Which would be the whole student activity fee.
I meant arch.
Yeah,
arch,
no, I know. But I just wanted to say technically for the record.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
Because I know how you all love to go back and, like, listen to...
okay, so pardon my mistake. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Technically, this is a vote that deals with matters of money over $5,000. I'm gonna call my vote out of order and stick to our bylaws as it deals with money and it's a sum of over $5,000. Administrative Director, would you please institute a roll call vote?
Okay, year we're coming quickly up onto the spring budgeting process, and the finance team would like to do things a little bit differently this year. So typically during spring budgeting process, each organization comes and presents their budget to the finance committee, and then they again come to Senate and present the same budget to full Senate. So we're trying to maybe cut down on some of that time a little bit and make our meetings a little bit more productive. So we're trying to bring forth a proposal that we would present Senate with an omnibus budget, which would incorporate all the student organizations' budgets into one. And then senators would vote on just that one budget. However, we would give senators the chance to review the budgets before they would come to full Senate. So we would email them out to all of you, and then you would have a chance to review each of the budgets. And then if you would like Senate to review those budgets specifically in Senate, we can do that and look at those ones specifically. As well as the organizations will also have that right to do that if they don't like, for say, the finance committee's decision on that. They can have that same right as well so that we can incorporate both needs of yours and the organization. It's also important to note that we've decided to automatically take out any budgets that are the block budgets, the Senate budget, budgets over $10,000, and then if the finance team tries to violate any bylaws, those will automatically be taken out of the larger budget that would go to Senate. And then the finance team has totally come on board with this new idea and think it would be a very productive way for Senate to progress in the finance process coming in May here.
So just to clarify, the budgets that would be either taken out for review by the full Senate by either a senator or by the student org, those would be voted on separately and discussed separately than the omnibus budget that would be voted on collectively with the rest of the budgets. And this is just to, in a sense, save time. Like when club sports come in and they're happy with their $4,000 and we're happy with their $4,000, then why are we spending 5 minutes talking about their budget when we have a ton of other budgets to talk about? So it's just kind of speed along the process where both parties are happy and there doesn't need to be any discussion.
So I'm not gonna open it up yet. I just wanna flush it out, give a little more context. So the way spring budgeting works as it is now is every single budget is brought to finance, they hear it. And then this body hears the exact same budget, goes over the exact same details. And so often the organization is happy with what finance decided. Senate is perfectly comfortable with finance decided, but here we are doubling the time spent on budgets where there's no contention, there's no issue. And so what we've tried to do is remove all of the budgets that are not an issue, that are not in contention, that if the organization is happy with what finance has recommended, and if we all take the time to look at what finance has recommended, and we are comfortable with what finance has recommended, that we will just approve those in a slate and get those out of the way so that way we can focus our time on budgets that do have an issue that we do need to discuss. And we want to make sure that student orgs feel that they are getting their fair shake, that they are getting represented, that their budget is still being heard if they disagree with the finance decision. But the problem is, in designing the system, so what we are actually going to be proposing is a temporary suspension of the rules. We're asking that you agree to the system because typically a senator has the right to hear every single budget and pull every single budget at any time and review that budget individually. But in this system, if the organization is happy and they have not been told that, you know, if a senator has not asked to review their budget and they have not asked for their budget to be in review by full Senate, then if a senator were to ask to review a budget on the floor and they weren't here to defend themselves, that isn't fair to the organization. So we've tried to structure this as much as possible so that everybody's rights are still protected, that we are doing our due diligence and being stewards of the student activity fee, but that we aren't spending time on issues where our finance team has already spent dozens of hours of their time to doing a job that we trust them to do. But I want to make sure that if it's unclear at this point, if there are any steps that are unclear, that you are in full understanding, that you disagree with, that we have a conversation about it. I really think that this alleviates a lot of the budgets where we just know that we're going to fund to our bylaw. Let's fund them to the bylaw. I'm glad to hear what you're doing, but we have budgets that are really contentious, and we need to talk about those. And so rather than 15 hours at the end of spring, maybe it's a fewer hours, but we spend more time. They're more dedicated to the budgets that need to be dedicated to. And so now I will open it up for questions first. We can hold it just to questions, and then we can get into discussion. Senator Siada.
This is directed towards Joe Ness. I was informed that this is also how other schools, or another school that you have previously worked at, does the same process.
One of the schools I previously worked at, called Gustavus Adolphus College, used to do it this way. I don't know how you got away from, or not you, because none of you were here, but I don't know how Senate got away from that. But back in the old days, in fact, it wasn't even this complicated. It was literally Finance Committee did all the work, and then it came to the Senate, and the Senate voted up or down. And every other institution that I've worked at where I've advised Senate, which has been every other institution I've worked at, the Finance Committee does the work, and the Senate trusts them. And there'll be a rare occasion where a group budget or two gets looked at, but by and large, the yeoman's work gets done on Finance Committee.
Thank you.
Senator Hay.
Two questions. First off, will there be line item amendments?
It would, so
you would have to, so you would send out the budget, and I would have to have a discrepancy with that budget.
So the way it would work is, the first week timeline is going to be a little different than the other ones, but Thursday, theoretically, before our first spring budget meeting, the first one of May, the Thursday prior to it, you will all get the budgets that we would theoretically hear that first meeting. So budgets A through G, whatever it ends up being. You will all get those budgets, and you will review them on your own, and then you'll have a deadline. I think we've decided 2 days, potentially three, whatever makes most sense, but there has to be a deadline where you have to respond back to the finance team and say, I want full Senate to review budget B. I'm not going to actually put a group's name on
yeah.
the record.
The Happy Polo Club.
Yes. The what?
The Happy Polo Club.
Happy Polo Club, that you want to review Happy Polo Club. But we're also giving the same rights to the student organization. So the student organization will get their budget back, and they will have 2 or 3 days that they have to respond, yes, I would like full Senate to review my budget.
If they want more, it would be normally if they want more money. If they feel like they deserve more money. Yeah, okay. Yep. Okay.
I mean, it's hard to know why they would choose to do that, but that would be one of the likely reasons.
Likely reasons. Okay. And then my second question is, will any student at larges on ethics committee have any problems with this?
So, there are no bylaws that structure... The way this does not violate any of our bylaws, but the way normal Robert's Rules is... That's why we're coming forward with this procedure and asking for a temporary suspension. The way it's coming forward is almost identical to when we had 8 candidates for one position and we offered slate voting. So that didn't affect any of the bylaws, it didn't affect any of our governing documents, but it was a temporary suspension of the rules to best fit the needs of the situation.
Okay, so it would only be a suspension of rules for the finance process, then it would, yes, okay. Then I yield.
Senator Gladch.
Okay, I think Haig just asked this question, but so would a senator have the, like if a senator hypothetically wanted to review like a certain, like one specific budget, would they have those same like 3 days to ask for that?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I yield.
Senator Getty.
More for you guys, you might have already sent us, but whenever you send us out like the budgets to review, are you going to give us like a short description of like why you recommended what you did or what the organization is, or is it just going to be like the budgets that we normally see on the screen? because I know even if I just saw dollar amounts, if I didn't know why you picked the dollar amounts, it would really help me. I don't know.
I mean, I don't know how you could do that to a level of detail that might get at what you're talking about, because the finance committee every year, because they deal with a smaller amount of money available to them than what clubs and organizations ask for, every year there's some degree of not being able to fund everybody involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine that there's some, you know, like best thinking, but maybe harder to write why, you know, this group is going to get 73% of what they ask for and this group is going to get 68% of what they asked for.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how they could do that, but you already are dealing with that problem because
yeah.
you don't know how they do that for the last 3 years or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
that's always been...
There's also bylaw stipulations that we like would potentially follow too. So if a group came and asked for $2,000 for a conference and we allocate $1,100 because that's our bylaw
mm-hmm.
stipulation as well, that would also...
I saw like last week then there was ones where it's like we're currently recommending zero because like no receipts or something like that. Like that'd be something I would
yeah, we're having yearly budget meetings next week on Sunday, Tuesday and Wednesday. And then we're going through with all those organizations about like what documentation is and what quotes are, so that we can alleviate that problem before we get to the actual budgeting process itself.
Most likely if a group got recommended $0, they would have an issue and ask for their budget to be reviewed themselves. But that's definitely something we could look into, maybe like color coding it, like it's a green box if we followed a bylaw or something like that, easy, that would add a ton of extra work on our end.
All right, thank you.
Senator Wagner.
So my question is, I guess you can present to them. You said that this would be to do what is best fitting the body for this process. Why would we choose to do a temporary suspension of the rules rather than doing an amendment to the process itself if that's what best fits this body? I see no reason just to make it temporary.
So the reason why it's coming forward as a temporary suspension, I think that because it's not delineated in the bylaws and because we have not tried this exact proposed system, we're asking for this year, and if it's something that is extremely successful that needs to be codified in the bylaws, then maybe we can determine that.
So this would be a trial.
This would be to make sure that, because we currently do not have the language that dictates how the budgets are brought forward onto the floor in the bylaws, and I would be hesitant to put this into our governing documents without having tried it. And so I don't even know if it's necessary to put into the governing documents, but I think this affects the body's rights, and I want to make sure that there's an official motion that the body recognizes that, and it's an agreement that if you are giving up your right to review a budget at any time, that you're taking note of that and agreeing with the process. So that when we say no, if it were to ever come up, we say no, you can't review that budget because you didn't follow the deadline and the group didn't have any notice, that we can say we as a body agree to it if the body does agree. That's fine.
Yeah, so just a few things. Like, in the past, this has been a very long and drawn out process. I've been through it all 4 years I've been here. I will be through it all 4 years. So I think this is a step in the right direction. Kind of another thing that's really nice about this, kind of approaching that question of, well, how do we know why the finance committee did what they did? A few things are really important with that. One is just looking through the bylaws and refreshing yourself before reviewing the actual spreadsheet, because a lot of it will be bylaw ramifications. But also, since there is kind of this buffer zone, you're able to ask questions of committee members as well as the finance chair and controller. So if you see something fishy, you can shoot them an email and figure out what actually is going on. And we'll definitely find a way to communicate as clearly as possible. So whether that's a Google Doc that the finance team manages that lists what groups have said they're already coming in, we'll find a way to get the information out there and publicize it for all of you. But I definitely think this is a step in the right direction and saves us a lot of time, and more importantly, though, it saves groups a lot of time, and it eases the burden that student finance can put on organizations. So, that you.
Any further questions? Questions, questions, questions? All right, now I'll open up for discussion. Senator Scott.
Yeah. Like Courtney, or like our finance chair said at the start, the rest of the finance committee was in agreement with this. Pretty sure it's unanimous, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think it'll make this process move more smoothly for those of you who haven't been here. Similarly to what co-president previously stated as well, it can be cumbersome, and I remember from last year I felt, and I'm sure a lot of the organizations felt that. They maybe weren't getting all of Senate's, I guess, attention, and that's not fair to them. Just because like we are going through a lot of budgets and it's really time consuming, doesn't mean that each budget shouldn't get the same amount of attention and delicacy that a previous one would receive. And so I think that this process will help alleviate that, as well as make the process more succinct in a sense that. Similarly, how our controller mentioned that groups like club sports, like they're pretty much going to get what they're asking for because, like, that's it just makes sense. It makes the most sense. So why would we keep going over things twice when they've already come into finance committee and then again they would have to describe or explain themselves to the entire body? So I'm fully in support of this temporary solution and. I guess in accordance with a previous statement, I think it would be, seeing as it's a trial run, I think it would be a great opportunity to see if this does actually work, and if not, we can tweak it, or Senate can tweak it next year, and then maybe even put it in words and writing as a bylaw or constitutional, verbiage that would help, really dictate how the process would be taking place in the future years. And with that, I yield.
Further discussion. 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 Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. All those in favor of a temporary suspension of rules for the finance process as outlined by the finance team and the co-presidents, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Abstentions?
Abstain.
So approved. All right. Now I will open up the floor for new business. Senator Weicker.
I would like to make a charge to our new health and housing chair to look into working with ResLife to replace all of the vacuums and residence halls. This has been a repeated issue. It's been a problem since I've been at Gustavus. So I would just like to make that charge.
Second goes to Heg. Discussion on charging health and housing with looking into residence hall vacuums. It's yours if you'd like to. Heg.
I was just walking by a vacuum the other day and made fun of how old and dilapidated it was looking. So. This is a very real problem, and we should definitely look into it.
Further discussion on the charge? Discussion, discussion, discussion. Seeing none. All those in favor of charging health and housing, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, nay. Abstentions? So charge. Further new business. What? It's your forecast.
I'd like to make an additional charge to health and housing look into the storage area where they keep milk and cat because there are too many times where I or other students have gone and the milk has not been refrigerated properly. And I've had it, like, picked it out of the thing and it's been, like, curdled milk almost, so.
And yogurt, dairy,
So there's the area where they have the, big milk jugs on top and it has the other milk options and has like some fruit and things on the bottom. It's like an open coop, an open face coop.
Okay, yes.
Right, sure. Okay. So with how far some of those sit out, if they're not pushed back far enough, they're not being properly cooled, and that can lead to health issues for students if they can get sick from improperly treated towels.
Is there a second? Second goes to Miller. Discussion on charging health and housing. Discussion. Seeing none. All those in favor of charging health and housing, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Extensions. So charged. Your floor, if you'd like. New business. New business. Saturday night.
All right. So in Student Academic Affairs Committee the other day, we were discussing how there's a very real chance of shrinking enrollment at Gustavus with larger classes leaving and smaller classes incoming. And I think this is kind of an issue when it comes to housing on campus. And I know that there's many students. I know that this is a four-year residential college, but I know there's many students who feel that living off campus is a nice thing for seniors to be able to do. So I'd like to charge the co-presidents with looking into ways to allow for more seniors to live off campus in the future.
Is there a second?
Just like that. No problem.
Well,
seeing no second, Senator Seattle. Discussion on the charge. It's your floor, Collector. Senator Haggis.
Yeah. The problem was with, I know for my grade next year, if there is shrinking enrollment and the grade below me is smaller and the grade leaving is bigger, it's going to push a lot of, many more of my students into Sorry Hall. And I've talked to many of my constituents and they were very opposed to being in Sorry for another year, or in that area, and would prefer to be in complex and different halls. So I think it's a really...
So then you just need to get admission to get more freshmen.
Yeah.
I don't
know, or lose residential halls, but neither are ideal. But I know that I was talking to my constituents and there was a lot of concern about where they're going to live in future years is in even being as a junior being pushed into less desirable housing than they were maybe wanting to live in as a junior. Obviously, people want to live in. It does deal with senior housing, but what I'm saying is it pushes back to other grades. So, all right, I'll yield to other people.
Co-President Goldstein.
Yeah, a few things. I mean, we'll be happy to look into this. It's something that many people have tried to look into, and it's always a brick wall. That doesn't mean we can't try to get enough. But also, with that said, I don't know if we would be the ones best suited to look into this, as we do have a new chair who would probably be meeting with Charlie Potts, the new teacher, and be able to get a straight-up answer. Not to throw 5,000 things you. I'd like to see an amendment to put this on health and housing, since out of everyone in this room, our new chair will have the closest relationship with Charlie Potts. I yield.
Yeah, and I just want you all to understand that Charlie Potts doesn't really get to have any control over how many students are going to get to live off campus, because the college, which would be the cabinet, so you could come and bitch at me if you wanted to, is always gonna want to fill our residence halls first, and then the number of students who get to live off campus is going to be second. So if you don't have more students, then you're going to have fewer people who are going to be able to live off campus, and Charlie's not really going to have any say in that issue. So, I mean, you can charge it to Charlie, and you can talk to Charlie, but at the end of the day, Charlie's not really going to be able to just decide that he's going to let every senior off campus if his halls are, if the beds are left empty. Like, he doesn't get that power.
Thank you for that information. And I yield.
Senator Hager.
Thank you. Question about the Sedan Helm. Would it be less work and less costly for the college to have less dorms?
No, it would be more money for the college to have more dorms and more in every single Gustie having to live on campus, even though that wouldn't make all of the Gusties happy, but it would make the college the most money.
By having the most
by having dorms. Every single person live on in a hall.
Okay. But okay. So,
because there's you pay this much
uh-huh.
in tuition,
yep.
and everybody who lives on campus pays this much in housing.
Yep.
So there's this much more money that comes from kids who live on campus
uh-huh.
than kids who live off campus that just pay tuition.
Yep. Okay, I understand that. How much of the money that's used for like for
your
this?
Main,
okay.
I think
okay.
it's on
yeah.
charge.
Okay, I'm sorry. Cut. I'll talk. Anyway, I yield.
Any further discussion on the charge to the co-presidents to look into more off-campus residents? discussion. Oh, Parliamentarian Gersh.
Again, I just wanted to remind, I guess, the senators of where the charge is currently going. If someone would like to make a motion to revise that, I just don't know if people were still aware of where this was falling at the time. I yield.
Discussion. Seeing none, we're moving to a vote. All those in favor of charging the co-presidents to looking into allowing more senior off-campus residents, say aye. Those opposed?
Nay.
Abstentions? Not charged. Sorry, I didn't know how to word that. Not charged. I'm sorry. Any further new business? It's your floor, Hagrid.
No, I yield.
New business. See none. Announcements. Senator Wagner.
I would just like to wish Senator Ricks a happy 21st birthday.
Tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day, so don't forget to wear green and get some corned beef from Patrick's. Are you?
With that said, please do whatever you are so inclined to do to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, but please do so safely and return here on Monday. I want to welcome our new members to the body. Thank you for filling some vacancies. It's great to have a full Senate, and likewise, I hope you too return on Monday. I want to strongly encourage you, thank you for amending the process for spring budgeting, but it is already a very confusing process, and because it's with money, there's already a lot of stress, and so if you have any questions, if it's not clear to you, if you want any more details or you have any criticisms of the process that is laid out, please contact us, and we still have time to field those conversations and to make it as stress-free and as servant of the student organizations as possible. And then finally, I want to congratulate Hayden on employment. And you'll be a real adult in the real world next year, unlike some of us. All right, Senator Seattle.
This is my yearly plug for St. Joseph's Day. It's on Thursday. It's Italian and Polish holiday celebrating St. Joseph. Definitely not St. Patrick. Wear red. I don't know, get like a cannoli or something. I don't know. I'd just like to welcome my fellow off-campus representative. It's nice to have a partner in crime again. Just in general, yeah, have a good week and yeah, enjoy yourselves.
Senator Edu.
I'd just like to give credit to the administrative assistant.
because I've just been reading the minutes and it's not easy, you know, listening, comprehending, typing for 2 hours. I think that's, she's doing a very good job.
Senator Getty.
It is Theta Week, and Mr. Gustavus is Thursday at 6:15. We'll be there. This is one of our judges. It's going to be great. Everyone should come. And outside the cap all week, we are tabling. You can donate money to your favorite contestant. So go to that.
Oh, President Goldstein.
Cool. Two things. If you brought anything from the cap with you, please take it away so Matt and I do not have to. Along with that, I just want to give a shout-out to Eric Best, who's probably rolling in his grave right now for what we did, but we are making real progress financially. So, Eric, do some extra squats and work it off.
Any further announcements? Announcements, announcements, announcements. Meeting adjourned.